translation puts it this way. They placed his neck
and took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Well, here we are again, Barry. It seems like we never left.
We never did.
This is Pastor David.
This is Pastor Barry.
And we are here with Glorious Day. We just want to get you guys ready, all of you guys and gals, ready for the coming of Jesus. We don't know when, but
no, we
believe we're a day closer and he's coming soon. So we're trying to do our part to get the church up and running, right?
Up and running and ready.
And ready. And if you'll remember, if you listened last week, we were broadcasting our program on the July 4th holiday, the holiday when we celebrate the independence of this nation from the British after a seriously fought war, which God granted the victory to the colonists, and we won.
That's the only way it could have been won.
Absolutely. You look at the disparity in men and equipment and all this stuff.
That's right.
So we know God was in that, and we know God has been in this country. We talked last week about the covenants that that was made with God 400 years ago by John Winthrop, and those colonists in the Plymouth colony that established a covenant dedicating this nation to God, to his purposes, and that covenant is still alive today. And don't let anybody tell you different, because if they tell you that, they're lying.
Amen.
First of all,
there's no expiration date.
There's no expiration date. God has a plan for this nation. It's a plan to evangelize the world and to have the church revived, up and running, preaching the gospel, bringing people in this nation to Christ, having a massive harvest of souls, and then that boiling over our borders, north, east, south, and west, into the rest of the world. That is what God is doing for us. Okay, he's doing that, and his grace is moving for that. Yeah. So the title of this program, if there is a title, is Freedom Isn't Free. And then we're going to talk about faith and works because they are intricately intertwined. And I'm going to read from the first scripture I'm going to have. First of all, I want to say that, and Barry, you and I have talked about, that some believers, there's kind of a distinct difference in how they perceive faith and works, right?
Oh,
and it's
yeah.
based on scripture, but their misunderdering does not say that God and the word of God contradicts itself. It does not.
It doesn't.
But it needs some understanding, and that's what we're going to unpack for you now. So many people will read James 2:14. I'll read this to you, and then I'll kind of tell you what I've heard people say. Said, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? Okay, now that's the verse. Gets a lot of people rattled.
Oh, it's still rattling people. It's difficult because people take sides.
They
people
do.
People take
yeah.
sides because some are with Paul and some are with James.
And that, right, Paul right. pointed that out. And we had that, I think, did we have that last week, I think, about the scripture that
I think
Paul
it was last week.
Yeah, it was last week, the week before, actually.
Yeah.
But, yes, and that's part of the, you know, let's not have a personality cult in the church. The only personality that we need to be concerned about is Jesus. All right? And he's the only one that really counts in the long view and even in the short view.
But at first blush, that clashes with Ephesians.
It does. Would you read that,
yes.
by the way,
Garrett? Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast.
Now, listeners, can you hear what some people see as a contrast here, as maybe a conflict of theological terms?
Oh, it sounds paradoxical.
Oh, my goodness.
That
my
doesn't
young
work.
My good man. Yes, it's horrible. But here's the point, is that Now, maybe you as a listener have been arguing one of these points or another, but there is a middle ground, and because Scripture does not contradict itself.
No, it does not.
God's Word doesn't do that. So there has to be something bigger than just the argument between works and faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now, here's what I believe, and this is what the church believes. We are saved by grace through faith. Paul says we're in Romans, we're justified by faith through grace.
Right.
You know, and so I believe that. And if you're a Christian, you need to believe that.
Well, that's foundational.
It is foundational.
Yeah.
But there's a part of the foundation that hasn't really, that people don't often move to, and that's that part that we find in James when he talks about faith without works is dead, right? I mean, that's not in that reading, but it's he says that.
Well, he said it a bit overdone. Sounds kind of severe to me.
Well, it is kind of severe, but he wanted to make the point.
He did make his point. Yes, he did.
That faith without works is dead because, yes, we are saved by faith. Now, someone will say, well, then, okay, I believe in Jesus. I have faith in him. If I don't do anything, does that mean I'm going to heaven? All right. Now, that's a good question because that is what some people are arguing about.
Right.
You know, now, first of all, let me say this. If you have faith in Jesus, why don't you want to do something for him?
We just talked about this off air. Like,
yeah.
Are you going to sit down and say, okay, I'm saved. I'm good. I'll be right over here in this comfy corner of the couch. You guys go do what you want to do, but I'm okay. I'll stay right here. You can find me here later on.
That's right. Hey, Marge, throw me the remote. You know, get me a bowl of popcorn. I'm just going to sit out this until
I'm saved.
I'm dead because I'm going to heaven. All right. Now, folks, okay, we'll get back to the point is that, first of all, if you really know Jesus, and you'll know if you do or don't, if you really have Jesus in your heart, it's going to be very difficult for you not to do something in response to that relationship, okay? It's going to be very hard because a true relationship with Jesus means that the Holy Spirit of God has come alongside you. And when that Holy Spirit comes alongside you, all the gifts God gave you, all the spiritual gifts he gave you are going to come online.
Full flower.
Full flower.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to want to do something. So both of these scriptures come together that we say that works means the manner in which a believing Christian expresses their faith in ministry and worship. You know, so when I met Jesus, I mean, I was already a churchgoer. Not that that did anything for me, you know, apart from hearing the gospel but not really taking it in until I met Jesus. And suddenly, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you, the first Sunday I got back to church after being led to Jesus, I looked around our church. I had the blessing of a church that was in the round. It was an eight-sided building, and so seven of the sides had pews. And I looked, before the service started, I looked at the people, and I said, wow, this is my family. This is the body of Christ.
I'm part of this now.
And I got excited because I knew that church did ministry, and there were several areas of ministry. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I looked at those people and said, wow, I'm going to be working with them. Hmm. We're going to be working together. That is so cool. So already, the faith that I was given as a gift from God, which I couldn't make on my own, I couldn't generate it, got me into the body of Christ, and it focused me on the work of the church. Okay.
That's right.
So faith and works go together.
They do. This is not contradictory.
No, it's not.
No.
Some of you have heard of the Great Commission, right?
I've heard of that.
It's not that feller that sells cars all day long at the dealership.
Here we go.
Although, yeah, I know. Sorry. Play on words, but
yeah.
It's in Matthew 28:16-20, and it's Jesus is giving direction to his disciples, his apostles, before he ascends. This is after his post-resurrection appearances and before he ascends to be with the Father, sit on the right hand of God. He says, you know, I'm going to paraphrase most of it because y'all know it by heart. He says, all the 11 apostles went to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Okay? But why did he say that? Because the next line, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. All right? That's the works part.
Mm-hmm, right there. And you know, he's always saying, go.
Amen.
Do.
Yeah, go, do. Yeah.
Don't just sit there in your pew.
No.
Don't just sit down and say, I'm saved. I'm fine. Thank you.
Yeah, right. I'll just.
The fire burns in you and you cannot hide it.
You can't.
And you can't ignore it.
You have to be out there doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of ministries. Some are in the church. A lot of them are outside in the community.
Right.
Some people are called to missions over in the world. Whatever. We're saying is that your freedom in Christ isn't free in the sense. It's free, you know, what all Jesus has done. He gives it to you. Our salvation is freely given. God's grace is freely given to us. It's unmerited. I didn't do anything to merit it.
No.
Barry, you didn't. Nobody does.
No.
It's given to us freely. But the response to the gift of salvation is that we give back to God. We give him our lives and our gifts, and we say, send me, Lord. Send me to wherever you want me to be, to do whatever you want me to do. And let me say this now, folks. Listen closely. And Barry's going to come up with a great story that's true. It's a guy we both know. He says, nobody has an excuse. Nobody is excused from doing whatever God has called them to do, whatever work is moving out of your faith life. Nobody. And just if you're thinking, well, maybe nobody but me, Barry and I both know a wonderful guy. He's an ordained deacon in our particular denomination.
That's right.
And Barry met him for the first before I did. So
I met him years ago. I won't say his name, but I know he listens to the show, and he's often told me to share his story. And I was in one particular nursing home, skilled nursing facility, if you will, and seeing a resident in there, and someone said, are you a priest? And I said, yes. And he said, you should go see that guy. And I looked down the hall, and there was a gentleman in an electric power chair who had one functioning arm and no functioning legs or the other arm, and he was tootling from room to room. And I said, who is that? And they said, oh, he's kind of our local preacher. And I caught up with him, and I said, who are you? And he smiled, and he says, I'm just doing my job here for God. And I said, no, who are you? And he said, nobody. He said he was born with a spina bifida, and he was bedbound and wheelchair-bound, and everybody in his life was trying to keep him from giving up, but there were some people that were saying, you can't do this, or you can't do that. And he got a call from God. He was a very spiritual man. And God called him to preach the gospel. Being Catholic at the time, he contacted the Catholic Church. He can dial a phone, David. He's pretty good at that.
I've noticed he calls me on a regular basis.
He called the Catholic diocese and wanted to interview for the seminary. And over a period of time, someone came out and they looked at him and said, well, sorry, but you're more of a patient than a priest.
Mm.
And he didn't give up. It hurt his feelings, but he called all the other denominations, even some non-denominations. And when they took one good look at him, as he puts it, I'm basically a torso with this hand and a really good-looking face.
Yes, that's
true. He's very witty.
That's a great
Everybody
sense of humor.
Told him no, but he had a fire burning him, David, because God was calling him and calling him into service. And he was trying to get this message out to everybody else. I'm being called into service. I'm looking for a pathway to do this. So finally, he just gave up on that and said, you know what? I'm just going to work for Jesus. And so that's what he was doing when I met him. He was going from room to room praying with people. And if someone was dying, he put a notice out to the nurses in his nursing home that he lives in that he was to be woken up because no one should ever die alone.
Yes.
And he was working for Jesus, David. That was his credential.
Absolutely.
David and I both know this guy, and we recognize the fact that God had anointed this person. As he anoints you when he calls and presses you into service, you are anointed.
Amen.
And you are equipped. And like we were just saying, your gifts that are in your spirit are going to go full flower, and you can't hide it. And you can't stand not doing what God wants you to do.
No.
It goes against the grain. And so this guy became a monk to begin with. And then he went back and studied, and he was ordained as a deacon, and he'll soon be ordained as a priest. But what does that mean for us? We're just a couple of bishops to file paperwork.
Yeah.
God anoints. We sign the paperwork.
That's right.
And we recognize this in his spirit, that this was a powerful, powerful servant of God. Yes, he can't walk. And yes, he's only got one hand. That's all. We observe that physically. But when you're in his presence, you feel this power of God coming through this man who said, yes, I want to work for you.
Amen.
So his faith and works are going full tilt, David.
Oh, yes. And, you know, all Jesus needs is a willing heart.
Amen.
And specifically, his story touched me so much. First of all, having met him and spent some time with him, I have no excuses. You know, when you know I feel like I'm a little tired or
nap time
or whatever, something gets in the way, and you know God is calling. I have no excuses. Here's a guy. You know, I mean, anyone that would have a chance to meet him, which would be a great opportunity.
Oh yeah,
because immediately you see the Christ in him. Okay.
And you sense the Christ, the peace of Christ in him.
That's right. And of course, I would also say that while, you know, some churches rejected him, you know, God had opened up our hearts. We're part of the Protestant movement, you know, that's been going on for 500 years or whatever. And yes, we have bishops, priests, and deacons, and we do have a liturgical worship and all that, but we love Jesus first and we follow the Spirit first. And
that's right.
And I guess particularly because when you think of ordained people in that kind of worship environment, you see them moving around and, you know, they're using every limb, you know, hands and legs. And
oh, yeah.
All of this stuff. And along comes our brother with a call from God. And ultimately, as we prayed and sought the Spirit's guidance, there was only one pathway that was clear to us, and that was, yeah, you got to ordain this guy.
Yeah, and you got to listen to him because he's plugged in. My dear friends, when he prays, you listen.
Absolutely.
It is a powerful moment. David, the first time I heard him preach, he preached in a nursing home to what he called his wheelchair family.
Yeah.
And you know what he preached on?
Mm.
Forgiveness.
Wow.
For people that sometimes forget that people in wheelchairs, because they're down there, and he calls us all skyscraper people, we'll all appear somewhere.
Yeah.
And we tend to marginalize these people.
I believe
that God has called him into service to represent those people that have disabilities, those people that are sometimes considered invisible. And so he's beating the drum and ringing the bell, but he teaches them to forgive and to love. That's the message from God.
That is truly. And really, I guess, why do we tell the story? If you haven't figured out already, that's okay if you haven't, but we told the story because here's a man, anyone would look on him and didn't know him, they would probably... they might feel sorry for him.
Yeah.
And then they would say, gosh, I mean, he's total care. There's nothing he can do for himself, right?
Right.
And you would think, wow, there's no freedom for this man. He is bound. He's bedbound. He's in a power chair. But he can't move like the other folks, right?
Right.
You would think that he was imprisoned by all of that. But I will tell you, and if you didn't discern this from what Barry was saying, I will tell you, he is one of the freest people I know.
Mm.
Because he has Jesus in his heart. He serves him. He's given his life to him. And Jesus is taking him to places to do ministry that he would never have thought of otherwise. I mean, and he's amazed. He's astounded.
Yes, he is.
And he is right now, I believe, Barry, he's perched on the brink of going into two other facilities.
Yeah, he will have three facilities that he's bringing the gospel to. And that's why, yes, he called himself the most blessed man you'll ever
meet. Amen. Yes. There is no anger in this man about the state of his body. There is no, there is, whatever you can think of, you might feel, he doesn't feel that.
No.
Yeah, and God just uses him in a powerful way. And this is why God called us to embrace him and to ordain him. Because when you get down to it, it's not how many hands or feet or legs you have, or really even how articulate you might be when you're preaching and teaching, although he is very articulate. But it's really, what is Jesus doing through you? And that's where your freedom comes from, your true freedom. And the freedoms that we celebrate in this country today that are from God, totally from God, he's the first and only source of that, that we experience on a national level. But friends, as believers, listen to me, as believers, we experience the freedom of Christ ourselves every day.
Mm-hmm.
And our brother, one day maybe we'll have him on the air here.
I've asked him about that, and he said he would love to do that.
Good. We can maybe have him call in or do something.
Yeah.
One day, we may be a live one-hour program with call-ins and guests.
Well, that would be wonderful.
I don't know if that's going to happen, but I think we're both perceiving a vision there. And, you know, if our listeners have any spiritual response to that, if the Spirit's speaking to you, let us know. Call the station at 888-221-8990 and just say, you know, glorious day, those pastors, I just want them to know that they should be on for an hour, and they should have live, and they should have call in and stuff like that.
Well, you know, David and I were also talking about the fact that if you're willing to get out of the pew or off the couch and put down the popcorn and or peanut butter, whatever you got, and step forward in faith to serve God, that he always equips you for what he wants you to do. He's never failed.
Always. Yeah, he never failed.
He's never failed. Ever, ever, never. And, you know, I know people that I've preached to in my nursing homes that I go to who say, well, preacher, that sounds good, but I'm 92 years old and, you know, I'm in this wheelchair all day and I'm old and I can barely breathe and speak. And you're telling me to share Christ? Yes. Yeah. Because that's the same answer that I give them when they say, why am I alive? I'm going to be 100 soon. Why am I alive? And I said, because God has someone for you to proclaim Christ to.
Amen.
Well, I don't know what to say. And I said, trust him. He'll tell you what to say.
Exactly.
Well, every time.
And if you have nothing to say, then he'll speak through you.
Mm-hmm.
Just like looking at our deacon friend. He doesn't have to say anything.
No.
Jesus speaks through him. And it's powerful.
The way in which he lives his life is a sermon of obedience and faith.
Amen.
It's a wonderful thing. We need to get him on this program.
We will. I promise you that.
Okay.
As we come to a close, we have a couple of minutes yet. And Barry, there's this reading from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9 that we wanted to bring at the end of the program. And would you mind reading that, brother?
I'd love to. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast.
Amen. Now, works again. But here's the key. Paul wants people to recognize that works, the works of ministry, are a natural expression of our relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But he's now speaking to those people who believe that they can get better salvation if they can rack up the points for service.
I want to see what better salvation looks like,
I
David.
Well, it's, we call it works righteousness.
Oh, okay.
And it takes the place of real ministry. It's people that, you know, I don't know if they know Jesus. I mean, I can't say they do or they don't. That'd be judgmental. But They don't have a clue, you know, about it. They work. Yes, they even work hard. Some of them are in our churches. You can see them on Sunday, zipping back and forth, sweating, doing this and doing that.
Right.
Are they serving the Lord, or are they trying to rack up points for heaven?
So
Paul was saying, that ain't going to happen.
Right.
That does not work. That
we don't have a point
real.
System. There's no A++ saint.
No, no.
No, there's not.
There's no grades of salvation. You get it through Jesus. It's all the fullest, best. It's the best product God has ever made for us. We're going to be in heaven with him. Yeah, there's not going to be any gradations or levels of salvation, right?
Yes, my heavenly mansion's going to be bigger than yours, David, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but my street's going to be paved with, not with gold, but platinum. Ooh. You understand that?
Okay.
All right, but see, there's no competition.
No.
So when you take that competitive part out of the mindset of the Christian, then where else can we go but back to faith and service and just doing what God calls us to do? Yes, salvation, when you meet Jesus, your salvation has been received at that point.
And
do
you
not,
achieve.
But do not resist the movement of the Spirit of God to move you out into places where you can minister in his name. Because that's where he wants you to be. And God's not going to just let you sit on that couch and munch popcorn.
But you know, in the world of birds, the mama bird puts little stickers in the nest and thorns so the baby bird can't sit down. So perhaps God will put some uncomfortable little items on the couch that just don't feel right. And you got to stand up and go.
You know, I think he does that.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking from my own testimony. Yeah. He does that.
You are not comfortable anymore,
you
son.
Not.
You come and do the work.
Well, it's now time for us to go. We thank you for listening. Give us your feedback, 888-221-8990. That's the toll-free number at the station. They'll take notes for you and pass them on to us.
That's right.
Be blessed. Listen to God. Do what he says, and all will be well.
And you will be free.
And you will be free.
Amen.
The total freedom in Christ. Have a good morning or night, depending on the time of day you're listening, and we'll come back and talk to you next week.
God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
Changed, and now